Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the Schmalkald Articles, looking at Section 3, Article 13, on what justifies a person before God and their good works. Today, they look at a New Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation is, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back. We are in our New Testament episode in our arc on Schmalkald Articles 3.13, How Man is Justified Before God and His Good Works. And today we are in Colossians 2.
I just realized that that title is like a Tolkien title. It says, The Hobbit, or There and Back Again.
Nice.
I looking at my analog, now digital Bible on Logos, and I just discovered that Logos is moving to a subscription model.
Yeah, you're a little taken
and
by
I'm bothered by it. And then I started thinking, what can I do to monetize, to suck people dry of their money? You know, what can I do to... Jason,
you just reminded me of an announcement we needed to make.
Oh no.
Well, yes, we need your money.
I want to hear that, and then I want to hear that.
Yes. Please make out checks to Adam, that is A-D-A-L. What do we
Adam
got, Jason?
Well, we are reminded that because of the new financial structure we have, some of you have asked how you can contribute toward the podcast. And I have been informed that we are now in the position for receiving donations. So
wonderful.
Wow.
If you would like to make a monthly subscription, which will give you the benefits of a picture of Jason every morning.
If you'd like to pay to not have my picture.
That's it.
Turn this into blackmail.
Figure out how to, Well, anyway.
That's good,
But, so make you donate to the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary. And in the memo page, you put Being Lutheran Podcast, and that money will be credited to our account, much like in justification, Jesus' righteousness is credited to our account. So flbc.edu, and I was told, and we failed for four episodes now to announce this.
Now we have.
Yeah, I was told that we are now in a position to receive donations. Hint, hint. Closed circuit to those who are asking about the second Being Lutheran conference. If a second Being Lutheran conference is going to happen, we need to raise money for it.
Yeah.
Who would we have? We would also love to hear our listener feedback on who you would like to see at a Being Lutheran conference.
Yeah, there's so many choices.
So many Lutheran choices.
So many other Lutheran rappers out there.
So people click give on flbc.edu?
Yeah, you can click give there, or the address is at the bottom of the page.
Oh, you can send a check.
And you can just send a check with in the memo. Either one, give in the memo on the giving page. But trust me when I say this, I am loathed to do this regularly. Yeah. I hate self-promotion. Yes. I am not a fundraiser by any stretch, but we were encouraged to say...
I don't mind it.
We want to have an operating budget to do more things like the Being Lutheran Out Loud conference we did in early August, that the way to do this is to encourage people out of appreciation or whatever to give money towards the podcast, and we'll make use of that to expand the podcast's reach, ministry, quality, who knows what.
It is amazing that we've done this so many years, and other than maybe a random gift here or there, and the generous donations from FLBC, but we really haven't had from listeners necessarily.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, they're not donations from FLBC. Ad space, but they're the only ones who buy ad space.
I misspoke on that.
It is still generous either way, and we're grateful that they subsidize our podcast.
Yep. Amen. What was your idea, Adam? You said you had...
He just wants to monetize for himself.
Oh, I just want to figure out how to monetize things. Said I have no... He says he's loath to ask for money. I don't mind asking for money. I do it all the time.
It's not below you.
Yes. How many times did I pay for pizza growing up when I went out with my friends? Almost never, Brett.
Yeah.
So if you see a new Logos kind of a challenger out there, it might be me. Rhema is what I'm going to call it. Yeah. The spoken word rather than the written word, Logos. That was Jason's joke earlier. And
it makes no sense, and now you look weird.
But no, but they understand. We have intelligent listeners. All right.
So
now that we've asked you for money, and we're 4 minutes into the podcast, what are we? What do we got, Brad?
So we are looking at Colossians 2. It's kind of interesting. After doing this for a time, we don't like to duplicate. You know, looking at the same passage, we're just in an effort to try to cover all of Scripture. Maybe by the end of time, we'll get there.
The end of time might come before the end of this podcast.
What's going to happen first? The district pastors getting through the book of Acts or us? No, just kidding. Yeah, so we're looking at Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And continuing our discussion on justification, sanctification, the relationship of those. And so these are really excellent verses, as is all Scripture. But let's hear these verses, and we'll get into our discussion here. So Colossians 2, 6 through 7, and read in Jesus' name. It says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is atypically a very short passage.
I was
going to
say,
us.
this might be one of our shortest
Other
passages.
Than that four-episode arc we did on John 11:35.
Yeah. Yes. And I think we have talked about the rest of, or the verses right after this as well, but there's just something about these two verses together that really set us up to there's a few different images of sanctification and justification as well. So let's just sort through these verses in terms of what would be in the category of justification, what would be in the category of sanctification, and how they flow one to the other.
So this is an excellent summary for talking about the relationship of justification to sanctification, that opening, the whole content of verse 6 is what does it. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Mm-hmm. And we receive Christ by faith.
Yeah.
That his righteousness is imputed to us, our sin is imputed to him, and we receive those benefits by faith.
Yep.
Sanctification is done in the same way, by faith.
Yep.
And what this does is it keeps us from kind of framing our sanctification as a matter of fruit checking.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where the Luther's argument that the good works or good fruit flows out of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like an offshoot of a branch coming.
Yep.
I like the vine picture that you had, Adam. Yeah.
In the vine picture is the very next word, the first word of verse 7, rooted and built up in him.
Yep.
And so he is the vine, we are the branches, and banner over me is love, kind of a thing, right?
Banner over
you like
me
that?
Is love.
But it, the when we talk about sanctification, we talk about good works. This goes all the way back to a few episodes ago when we were talking about the different buckets or different categories.
Mm-hmm.
If we view them as entirely separate of one another, sanctification can't be anything more than us checking our own fruit, us checking the fruit of our neighbor, us looking for some kind of evaluative measurement to know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And here, in a very succinct fashion, the act of sanctification is something Jesus does for us as we have faith in him, and the good works then flow out of that in thanksgiving. And so the good works are an outflow and a response to what Jesus has done for us.
Right. Yeah. It's the whole, I hear a lot of Christians say, live the gospel. And I think what they're trying to say is live in light of the gospel. Is that sufficient to say in light of or from the gospel?
It's not sufficient to say, but it's sufficient to acknowledge that's what they mean.
Yes, yes.
We don't want to turn the gospel into a law.
Right.
We don't want to move from indicative to imperative, which, you know, we talked about that last episode. We want to keep the gospel, but kind of where we ended up on that, if you remember, is we want to live in the freedom of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our sanctification looks like. Remember, we're freed from and freed to. And that's where we order our good works. God doesn't need our good works. We don't need our good works. Our neighbor needs our good works.
Yeah.
The attention of our sanctification is focused on obedience to God's word in the direction of our neighbor.
Yeah, good. So, you know, looking at this verse 6, I want to ask you guys about the language of receiving mm-hmm. Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm just imagining the notorious GAC person.
Just, altar call?
Yes. I'm thinking of decision theology kind of things, but talk to me about the receive here.
That's something that's interesting. There are some English translations where we do see the word accept, you know, like accepting the gospel. Receiving is far more biblical. I mean, I think it's closest to the Greek word there. And it's a picture of, like, I use this illustration with my students, okay? Last year, there was a generous donor who gave a sum of money to spread out as a scholarship amongst all of the students. So each of the students received a significant scholarship, which was incredibly generous. Just a blessing. Speaking of giving earlier, right? I made fun of it kind of like I hope everybody understands it's tongue-in-cheek. I don't mind asking for money. There are people who are very generous, and God has blessed them, and it's truly a work of God. We'll talk about that later, I suppose, too, you know, about one of the things that God does as we walk in Him, some of the good works that He calls us to do. But all that to say, the students, I said to them, okay, you received this gift. Like, did you ask for it? Nope. Did you know it was coming? Nope. Do you deserve it? Nope. So all of these things. Are you willing to receive it? Yep. I said, can you reject it? Sure. But will you? Nope. You know, all of those things. And that's really the language here. It's like, it's a gift of God. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we asked for. It's not something we knew was coming in its, you know, broadest sense. But God, when we were unaware of all of those things, wanted to give us a good gift. And it's there. It's applied to our account. And that's the funny thing, is that it showed up on their student account. So all of a sudden, on their account, this is yours, right? And there were, and this is ruining the illustration, but it's the reality, there were a couple of students who had paid their bill and who were blessed financially themselves to have paid their bill already. And so they said, could you take this one of mine and apply it to somebody who's struggling with their student account?
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
So they can see that. We can't do that in heaven. That ruins the illustration, right? Yeah. That doesn't
suddenly
work with
you're
salvation.
A Roman Catholic.
That's exactly it. Yes.
Treasury of merits,
But I don't need your merit. No. All of that to say, that's what reception of Christ is.
Yeah. And I think sometimes they talk, like the notorious GAC talks about, like, God gives you the gift. He like sets it on the table, but it's up to you to go and grab it and put it into.
Or worse
I think
yet.
You just quoted a Neil Diamond song, actually. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Or worse yet, though. Worse yet, it's like the altar call where, hey, this money is here.
Yeah, and you come and get
you
it.
You need it. Yeah. You need it. You want it. You come and get it.
Yeah.
You come, but you got to come and get it. You got to mean it. When you come up here, don't just come up here with weak hands. Grab it hard. Pull it away.
You
carry
guys can't
it back
see
to your
me,
seat.
But I'm swaying my hands back and forth right now.
Yeah. And that strong, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That puts such an emphasis on the receiver rather than the giver.
Yeah.
And in this illustration of the scholarship situation that took place last year, There was nothing to say other than, wow, thanks. Yeah, there wasn't a, you had to go through all these X amount of steps and prove that you really want it. You didn't have to, what, none of that was there.
Check
it was, this is what I want to give to you, right? out of his goodness and kindness to us, he gave us that which we didn't expect or deserve. That's what reception means. So as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. in that reality, then he says, so then go walk in him. Yeah. That's actually the command in this verse. If there's a, it's walk, just walk. And that's an interesting word, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we talk about that word walk, it's a general direction of life. It's not a specific action. Like you've got to go and do this special thing now.
I'm going to go for a walk.
Continue in your reality of living with this good news as part of your life.
It's the go and the go and make disciples of all nations in the Great Commission. It's the same thing. It's a, you know, maybe not here in the Great Commission. That's a participle. It's on describing ongoing action. Another way to consider what Adam's saying, Adam said it well, it's a perfect example, but to understand that the receive is to consider Lazarus in John 11. You know, Lazarus was all the way dead. There's a John goes out of his way to mention that they had waited 4 days. Now, as I understand the application of this, that was the legal amount of time to declare someone dead.
Actually dead.
He's actually dead. Like, I love Jewish law. It's just amazing to me. What is like, you know, if a person dies, there's an off chance we might be wrong about this. So just to be sure, if he's dead for 4 days, then he's really dead. And you know, but
he stinketh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but Lord, by this time there will be an odor. Like, he's all the way dead. And so Jesus issues the command for the resurrection. Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
Lazarus is dead. He is Ephesians 2:1 actual dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is the word of the gospel, the word of the resurrection, that calls him forth from the grave. It is not Lazarus, you know, if Lazarus hadn't put one foot in front of the other, you know, it's not that. It's the gospel that animates him.
Yeah, it gives new life.
Yeah, yep. It's the gospel that raises the hand to receive the gift. So this isn't that 99-1 ratio that's sometimes talked about.
God's done 99%, and it's up to you to do the 1%.
Yeah. You know, and if it's up to you to do the 1%, that 1% might as well be infinity, because you can't close that gap.
Yeah,
you're never going to know for sure.
Yep.
And so the as you received is just simply the gospel, the Holy Spirit reanimating your dead life, giving you new life.
Yeah. One other thing about received and then walk, okay? Those are kind of, you know, the verbs in that chapter, in verse 6. You received is in the aorist tense, which is, you know, kind of a completed action, past kind of, we can...
It's a snapshot.
Yeah, it's a snapshot, something that happened, okay? And so that... Linking that to justification, we talk about justification being a punctiliar thing. Like, it's a time in history. It's a moment. It's a declaration that's there. That's the kind of language. So when we talk about, why would we talk about justification that way? Because you received him. It's a snapshot. Something that happened, done, over. Good. Okay. And then the so walk in him is actually, we talked about it being an imperative, a command, but it's also in Greek, and I know our listeners are very well versed in Greek, and I'm sure love to hear this over in this good radio. But the idea of a present and active thing, it's a continuation. It's a continual walking in this.
Yeah.
That's your ongoing sanctification type language. Those are your categories that we talked about in episodes past.
And again, the imagery of the gospel is just so contrary to the human idea of what reality is. So listen to the juxtaposition of the command and the reality. So walk in him rooted. Like, those are contrary concepts. Mm-hmm. If you're rooted, you're planted,
you're not
going anywhere, but you're walking, right? And this is, it's just, the language is so precise as to not give us any credit for what's going on. So you walk in him, but you're rooted, and then there's a passive that you're being built up in him.
Well, rooted is passive, too.
Yeah, rooted.
And that's it's being done to you. Like, you have been rooted.
Yeah.
You are being built up.
Yeah. Like, not your work. There's gospel at work even in our sanctification.
The sanctification. So, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from the Book of Concord is third article of the Creed. The very beginning of Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, he says, to sanctify is nothing more than to deliver the gospel over and over again so that we might receive this treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sanctification happens as we receive the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gospel that empowers, it's the gospel, like I said, that reanimates, that causes us to live. And so why we reject the sanctification as learning to live in your justification is it reverses the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gospel that enables us to be sanctified. Our sanctification and justification is flowing upstream. It's running contra the current, but it's the justification that flows down into your sanctification, and then Luther ties it all together in the Large Catechism that it's actually the repeated reception of the gospel that deals with our sanctification. He hits that over and over and over again in the third article of the Creed. We are in the Christian church where there is nothing but the continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sins, he writes.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of Philippians 1:6 too, of, you know, he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion.
Be faithful to completion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Good. Yeah, I boy, I had some doubts that we would be able to talk about these two verses here, but there's
never doubt Adam that. And my ability just to talk on and on
randomly.
Maybe I doubt my own ability there, but
Did we talk about this? Because sometimes I tune Jason out. did we talk about when it says we received, right? We talked about received.
Yeah.
Did we talk about what we received? That it's Christ Jesus the Lord?
No, we didn't mention that at all. No, we skipped right over that.
Kind of interesting. Yeah. Whoops. Okay, so what are we receiving? That's interesting because it's not we're receiving a set of gifts, right? In terms of things that we are, you know, given to be able to exercise some sort of good work in our life or sanctification. We're not given a kind of a nebulous idea. We're given Christ. That is what we receive. We received him. Like so that whole discussion that we had, I think a couple weeks ago, something like that, about the union with Christ.
Yep.
You know, that we are one with him. That's who we are receiving. And that explains why it's enough. You know, why receiving him and then the natural outworking, that rooted being built up and established in the faith is really being established in Christ, rooted, built up and established, tied into him who is the vine, right? Yep. He is the gift. He is what we have.
And that's
something that we have that we have every time we go to the altar, right? Mm. And we receive bread and wine. Yeah. Like, what do we get? We receive not just these good gifts that remind us of something good, not these things that are good symbols. We receive Christ Jesus the Lord.
Yep.
He was really there, present, in with and under that bread and wine to come to us. It's that reminder and that affirmation of what Christ has done for us and who we have, what we are doing. Mm. And in him, then there is nothing we can, there is, and I talk, and I know, Jason, you don't entirely agree with me on this, and we've shared this in episodes past, but that's where we get the whole idea of like our new nature is completely converted. There isn't an old part of it that's like, whatever. We have an old nature that absolutely still sins, but nothing, and that's why we can say nothing that what we have before the eyes of the Lord is in any way perishable, because it's Christ. There's nothing better than him. Our good works can't improve upon that. Nothing can improve upon him. And it always is wanting to do. Our new nature is always active and wanting to do the right thing. Our old nature, yes, sin happens. But who we are, it's a busy, living, active thing, our faith, because it's Christ that we've been given.
And that's another sanctification image in Scripture. What you're talking about is that we put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, and then it's Christ himself who completes our good works for us.
Mm-hmm.
That without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Romans 14.
Yeah, and being hidden in him. That's Colossians. That's the next chapter here in Colossians. Being hidden in him. And we tend to mystify that. Yep. Mysticize? I don't know what the right word
is.
We tend to make that a mystical thing, but in reality, we are hidden in kind of like the Trojan horse, right? I mean, he's like
except for
good and not to murder everybody on the other side of the wall. Other than that, exactly
totally
the same
thing.
No, but we are literally hidden, clothed, robed. You know, in him, in union with him, who is the head.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me.
Amen.
That's exactly what this is talking about.
He's the animation of our good works.
Hmm. Yep.
And that's an awesome way to think about this whole thing of the relationship of justification, sanctification. Hopefully, listener, as you've listened to these arcs of episodes, that you've come away with that, the confidence in Christ, that assurance in Christ, and go forward and love your neighbors with Christ animating you in that, in your sanctification.
Go forth in the gospel
to
love your neighbor.
That's right.
And it says, and as it says at the end, abounding in thanksgiving. That's our response.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the Small Call articles. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.